Well, I got to tell you, for a long time, we used to say, man, I wish Mike Quick and Harold Carmichael were the Eagles wide receivers still. But now with this A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith guy, I think Harold and Mike might be the backups. Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. Tough call right there. I tell you what I do know. We love talking to Mike Quick. Tuesdays start at the 11 o'clock hour. Hello, Mike.
Mike, brought to you by the Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, the official app of the real Philly fan. Download now at betparks.com. You must be 21 and in PA or New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Mike, you wouldn't be the slot guy, would you?
I tell you what, today I would definitely be a backup, way backup to those guys. Hey, man, those guys are free. I love this whole Batman thing, skinny Batman, and they are really, really talented. And I'm glad that everybody got a chance to see just a smidgen of the talent that Devontae Smith brings to the game at this level.
You know, it was awesome to see Mike. I made the point yesterday, and I mean this, no disrespect to T.O., who was masterful, true Hall of Famer, but with Todd Pinkston, not nearly as good. I do think this is the best combo at wide receiver the team has had since you and a young Chris Carter. I think it's really a special grouping. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I believe that. So the only other ones that would come to mind would be probably D-Jack and Macklin.
Yep.
Because they were a really good combination. But I believe these two are even better. And then when you throw in Quez, won't even get into the tight end because he's at a different level. But then if you throw in Quez, man, that trio, I don't know how you, as a coordinator, try and slow them down. They're just that good.
So, Mike, if you had to pick, sounds like you really like Quez. I really like Zach Pascal. If you had to pick one or the other to make our number three, who would it be, Quez or Zach?
So I'll tell you this. Because the first two are so dynamic and they can do so much, I would probably go Zach because Zach, he's a different guy. Zach is a guy that you can put in the trenches and do all the dirty work that, you know, receivers don't necessarily want to do. All that hard blocking that sometimes you need receivers to do, some of the stuff over the middle. You know, even if you want him to crack on a linebacker, he's that dude that can do all of the gritty, grimy work.
I agree.
He's an ass kicker, Mike.
He's a monster.
I mean, I love
that
guy.
That's a good way
man.
To put it.
Yeah.
So is Dallas Goedert being underutilized right now?
Well, you know, it's a three-game sample, so it's hard to say. You know, we said after the first game that, you know, Devontae has to get involved. And I do believe in this because I've seen it happen so many times, that different games, different guys will step up because of the plethora of talent that you have on this offense.
Well, yeah, I look at the targets, you know, in this last game. I know he was in and out of the lineup a little bit, but four targets compared to 10 and 12 for AJ and Devontae. I know some of it's game script, but he's the type of guy that they call plays for. They design those screens and they get the ball in his hand. He's so talented. It just feels like it. If I were him, I'd be a little bit frustrated.
I understand. But if you look at it, they are quality targets when they're trying to get the ball to Dallas Goedert. The hit rate's pretty high. And you're very efficient throwing to the tight end. You're right, he's so good. That screen, I love the timing of it by Shane Steichen. And then Dallas with the ball in his hands. He's as good as any tight end in the league.
I mean, he made that move. Look, that defensive back, whoever it was that came, I mean, that was a horrible attempt by that guy to tackle him. But part of that is because two things. One, the dude doesn't really want to take him on square. And two, Dallas Goedert made a nice little nifty move, kind of got skinny, and it was just a total whiff by the D-back, and it's a touchdown. I mean, it's just he's a really great tight end, Mike.
I think the first part of your response is more accurate. At 6'5", 255 pounds, that guy made a business decision that he didn't want to take Dallas Goedert on head up.
Incredible.
So, Mike, in your experience, how often have you seen a young quarterback develop at the rate that we've seen from Jalen Hurts this season?
I don't know if I've seen this type of jump. You know, if you look at the growth and the time span of the growth, I don't know if I've seen that big of a jump in such a short period of time. Brian Johnson, the quarterback's coach, I don't think is getting enough credit for the time that he's putting in with Jalen. I know Jalen has talked about a lot in the, you know, the way he's dedicated to his craft and learning and, you know, wanting to know everything. And it's there. He's putting in the work. But having a guy like Brian Johnson, who's known him for a long time, who understands how to play that quarterback position, I think has helped him out a whole lot. I give a lot of credit to this young coaching staff for where this team is right now, because looking at this roster, the construction of this roster going into the season, I knew that there's a lot of talent on the roster. The next step, though, is can this coaching staff get it out of this roster? Mm-hmm. And we are seeing that happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike, week one, Detroit blitzed Hurts a lot. He handled that largely by running, some by passing. Weeks two and three, teams sat back and didn't blitz. What do you think they're going to do? I mean, obviously, teams are going to have a counterpunch to the Eagles' success on offense. I don't know if it'll work, though. What are teams going to try to do to try to slow down this Eagles' offense?
I think a combination of them both, and I think that's what we'll see at Jacksonville. He's shown that he can beat you if you're going to stay back and play coverage. He's shown that he can beat you if you're going to play man and turn your back to him. He's going to, you know, hurt you in the run game. So it has to be a combination, and they have to try and confuse him, give him too many things to think about. You know, pre-snap, you give him one look, and then you move to another look after the ball is snapped. Those types of things, I think, for coordinators is what they'll have to try and do. And, of course, try and throw the offensive line off with some stunts and those sorts of things.
Mike, defensively speaking, I was a little bit worried about our D-line being able to get home prior to the Commanders game. How do you explain the incredible productivity of our D-line against Washington?
Well, of course, part of it was the fact that they, going into the game, they know the quarterback there, Carson Wentz, very well, and they know the things that his shortcomings. So they knew that tight coverage on the outside, early in the down, Carson's going to hold on to the football. He's going to give you some opportunities. And when you start to rattle him, you'll have even more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what happened. But keep in mind, that's an offensive line that's having a whole lot of health issues, a lot of problems. They lost Roulier, their starting center. And during the course of the game, their guys were going down. Sam Cosmo, the right tackle, went in and out of the lineup. So the offensive line in Washington, they're having some issues. So that's part of it as well.
Right.
But give a lot of credit to this D-line. They took the fight to them.
How is Jordan Davis playing?
Huh. I think he's – so here's what you have to understand about Jordan Davis. And I think Washington had to understand that about Deron Payne, Jonathan Allen. When these guys come out of Alabama, they're not pass rushers. They're not taught to pass rush. And it took both these guys in Washington 2-3 years before they really became effective pass rushers. Run stopping, they're very good coming out of college. But after you have a little bit of time and you're around these veteran guys, you start to learn things about how to break down a guy in front of you and how to get around him. I think Jordan Davis is doing well for what he's asked to do. But it's going to take time for him to mature at that position and be able to read all these little intricacies that these big guys can read now after being in the league 2 or 3 years and getting around them, getting to the quarterback. So I think he's playing well. I just think that he has a lot to learn.
How solved is the Hassan Reddick puzzle of how to use him properly?
Well, I think that's going to be an ongoing thing. Of course, we want to see him pass rush. But there are going to be times, and sometimes it's going to be forced by the offense, there are going to be times when he's going to have to drop in coverage because they'll move the tight end one way or the other just to make sure that he has coverage responsibility rather than being able to just line up on the edge and rush the passer.
Mike Quick with us here. All right, Mike, couple things here. I'm going to ask you to climb inside people's heads. First, your own. What was your reaction to Nick Sirianni wearing your jersey?
I was pleasantly surprised and flattered by Nick wearing my jersey. You know, listen, I played this game 30-some years ago. And to walk into the stadium now and still see people wearing my jersey, it's flattering. It's humbling to me. So, yeah, and then to see the head coach do it. And, Joe, I listened to you for a little while yesterday, but yeah. I had to turn you off. And that rarely happens.
Mike. Listen, oh, Mike, you're hurting me. You're hurting me.
Listen to me. Yeah. I had to turn – like, you don't want Nick to be himself. You want Nick to be who you want him to be. That's Nick. If you watch him today, he's got a hoodie on with an Eagles logo on. He wears these T-shirts all the time. He really enjoys the position that he's in. And Nick is being himself. I love that. I can appreciate that. I had to turn you off yesterday. Well, I love you, man.
I appreciate it, Mike.
Tell him, Mike. Tell him.
For those that missed it, I said yesterday I was not a fan of Nick Sirianni wearing Mike's jersey. I mean, look, Mike, here's what it reminds me of. It reminds me a little bit of early Bryce Harper. It reminds me, you know what I was never a fan of? That guy, let's say there's 10 people in a room, 5 guys and 5 girls, and yeah. There's one guy trying too hard to impress a girl or two. Like, don't try to impress me. Just be yourself. Now, listen, I guess you're saying this is who he is, but I will say there is a fine line you walk between good times and what can become bad times. And it's not what I like to see out of an NFL head coach. I understand it might work. I understand he might be able to pull it off, but it's
who
just
he is.
Yeah.
It's who he is. So he asked me, he asked me for a jersey. And I didn't know that when I gave him the jersey, that was going to be the result.
Sure, yeah.
But like I said, man, I'm humbled.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I get that. All right, Mike, two questions here. It's going to be tough because I'm going to ask you to climb into someone's head, but you know them both really well. Question one, do you think Carson Wentz knows that his days as a starter are numbered, whether it's a couple weeks or whether it's a season? Do you think he knows the end of him as a starter is near?
I don't think so. Not at this point. I don't think Carson is a person who's going to quickly recognize faults. We all have blind spots. And I think that's, some of the things that's happening with that offense down there. Carson doesn't see it as him. And kind of when I listen to him and I kind of read between the tea leaves, that's the way I feel.
What about Doug? I'm curious, Mike. You know him really well. What do you think is going through his mind this week as he gets ready to come back to Philly and face the Eagles? I mean, on one hand, there was great success. On the other hand, obviously, things bottomed out. The Eagles did fire him. I mean, what do you think he's thinking?
I'm thinking that Doug every day is grinding and trying to figure out a way that he can carve your heart out when he comes to Philadelphia, because that's just the way he is. He knows this area really well. He knows the game extremely well. And he is getting together all of his resources to try and figure out how they can attack this defense. They've got a really good defense down there in Jacksonville as well, and how they can stop this offense. But Doug's trying to figure out how he can come into here and upset Philadelphia on Sunday. I promise you that.
You think Jacksonville semi-legit? Like, what kind of squad? I mean, they're 2-1. What do you think they are?
I think they're a good football team. I think they're a really good football team. I think they had the first shutout in the NFL this season. When I look at that young quarterback and what he's able to do now, it's really impressive. And if he has time, his receivers aren't great. He doesn't have the greatest supporting cast, but that kid can do so many things inside the pocket as well as outside the pocket. And they will score points. It's just a matter of how many points will the Eagles be able to keep them from scoring, and then the Eagles mounting points for themselves.
Mike, great stuff, man. We love having you on the show again. Mike with us every single Tuesday to start the 11 o'clock hour. Mike and Merrill in the booth this Sunday for the Eagles and Jags. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is. Quick six. What a wide receiver and what a group they have right now with these guys. And I'll tell you, John, I mean, we touched on it yesterday. That Zach Pascal guy, I like that guy, man.
He's so tough.
We talk a lot about Devontae.
He's nasty out there.
Devontae and A.J. Brown, but Zach Pascal, man, I'll take that guy on a football team any day.
He'll fight everyone. I mean, those slip screens, just watch him on the slip screens, the way he He just gets after people.
Well, except if it's
he locks on.
If it's at the goal line, and he's the one actually getting the ball on a handoff.
Wow. That wasn't good. I didn't like that.
Wasn't really his fault there. There wasn't much really anywhere to go.
Yeah.
All right, but I hear you on the blocking. He's really good. All right, let's go to Dan right now in Philadelphia. Hi, Dan.
Boys, what's up?
Hi, Dan.
Joe, what do you want Nick Sirianni to wear, like a Cowboys jersey or something?
You know what? I want him to act like he's been there before.
What if he wore a Hammer shirt?
But he's the head coach
that'd be trying too hard.
Eagles. Shouldn't he be wearing Philadelphia Eagles swag?
I wouldn't. I mean, I'll use the Rex Ryan analogy. Just be careful when, and I know he did this even when things were bad last year. I get it. But I think if SportsCenter shows Nick Sirianni yesterday wearing a jersey of a former player from Sunday's postgame nationally, I think he looks ridiculous. Now, maybe he can blast through that because they go 14-3 and they win the Super Bowl and then no one's got anything to complain about. But I think you put yourself on a ledge unnecessarily.
So let's say
I think his shirt of Cowboys suck or whatever that shirt is. I agree with your opinion there. But these are legends of Philadelphia Eagles. He's the Philadelphia Eagles head coach.
I know.
He's supposed to represent the organization. They are the greats of the organization.
Oh, I get that.
He's bringing more awareness to all the greats the Eagles had in their organization.
I get it.
I like that he's different. I appreciate that part. And Joe, I too, like, I'm sort of on the fence here.
Yep.
If we do go 14-3, then is it cool that he, you know, it's pretty much carte blanche, you can do whatever you want because it works so well?
Maybe, but I'll say this, like, and I'm not trying to be like tough guy here, but win the Super Bowl.
Well, all right, better question. Would you rather he did it your way, even though that's not who he is and him being, would you rather he not be genuine to be like serious and whatever, or would you rather him be himself, you know?
Like, how about he wears an entire Eagles uniform to like opening day next year. That's kind of ridiculous. Like, for no apparent reason other than, I mean,
shoulder pads and all.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right?
Yeah, like, why not? Why not? Yeah.
Hey, listen, this is the best I've seen the Eagles play, and I can't remember. I mean, obviously since the Donovan Andy Reid days, but yet somehow I feel uncomfortable thinking that we're this good. Like, it's such a strange thing to be a Philadelphia fan. I mean, I guess that's with all sports, but why do I feel like we are that good, but I'm uncomfortable to say maybe we are the best in the conference or a top two?
Well,
team
I'll tell
the
you
league.
The answer, Dan. The answer why I think you feel that uncomfortability is because in your lifetime you've only seen them win a Super Bowl once. And you've probably had a feeling like this maybe four or five times. I'll give you one when I felt it. In 1992, when the Eagles started out 4-0, and they won that fourth game of Monday Night Football against Dallas and throttled them. I think it was 31-7. I mean, throttled them. I thought the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl. They didn't. Now, they were good. They finished 11-5. They won a playoff game. But they really weren't anywhere near the Super Bowl. I mean, by the end of the year, it was so obvious that Dallas had passed the Eagles, and Dallas smoked the Eagles in a playoff game in the divisional round. So I think, Dan, to answer your question, if I was your psychologist, I'd say you feel this way because you know what it's like to feel like the rug gets pulled out from under you, and it happens sometimes.
Right, but I think the difference between back then and now is we get to actually click a channel and watch any team and see the best teams, whether it's Kansas City. So we actually know comparably what our team is stacked up against. And, again, I do think we're a top team in the conference, if not the NFL, and yet I still feel uncomfortable saying it.
Yeah. So, all right, Dan, give me who or what was underappreciated.
Teachers.
Well, that's a pretty good answer.
That's a great answer.
Super.
Yeah. I mean, especially the way I treated them. God. I do feel bad about that sometimes.
Good.
I mean,
you should.
I caused my share of trouble, and that's something I will say I'm not particularly proud of. James, your question was interesting. Would I rather Sirianni be not himself and just wear a regular outfit post-game or wear the outfit? So I'm going to counter that with this question. Do we know for sure that he is being himself or that he's trying to be someone?
I mean, it seems like he's being himself. You know, Mike Quick just said it. It feels like when everyone I've talked to and stuff you hear, is this just who he is? But we can't know that, obviously. But it feels like he's being himself.
Because there's two different things going on when you're the head coach. One matters a lot more than the other. There's how you present yourself to the team, and there's how you present yourself to the fans. Now, how you present yourself to the team is what obviously matters by far the most. I mean, by far the most. But there is something to be said for, you know, kind of brand ambassador to the public. on one hand, you can say the public eats this up. I don't know. We haven't done a Twitter poll on this topic. I don't know how people would react. On one hand, you're going to have a lot of people say, yeah, yeah, I love it. He's wearing an Eagles great jersey. And like, that's, I get it. Like, some people can react that way. Other people, and I did get a couple text messages from friends yesterday when I said what I said. They said, Joe, I totally agree with you. It's just, like, it's not, no one said it's not becoming, but that's kind of the concept. It's not becoming of an NFL coach. You look a little ridiculous. You know, you look high schoolish. Now, I don't know. I mean, people can make their own assessment. John, you're on the fence. I'm against it. James, you pro it or against
it? I'm pro it, yeah.
Okay.
Look, it's unconventional.
I like it, man.
I like it. It's fun. Sports are supposed to be fun. Like, that's the whole point of this thing. It's fun. It's entertainment.
And it feels like that's what he's best at bringing out from the guys. You know, the season can become a slog, and I think that just his outlook is helpful in preventing the doldrums from setting.
Listen.
I know it's early, you know, yep. We're not to that point yet, but the way he approaches things, it does feel like it works.
I will acknowledge
good results.
It might work. I will totally acknowledge that. I mean, right now it is working, so I get it. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we go inside the game. Something from the game on Sunday that stood out to John, something to keep in mind moving forward. That plus all the calls on 94 WIP. All right, Jada Cameron and John Ritchie. What a great song, man. Love this one. This is Pete Townsend, right?
Pete Townsend.
Man, good stuff. John takes us inside the game. Coming up here in a couple minutes, inside the X's and O's of something from Sunday's game. So let me take you inside headlines from yesterday. You know, yesterday was, locally and across most, if not all, the teams in the NBA, it was like media day. And, of course, you know, James Harden made his joke about, you know, losing 100 pounds, which obviously he didn't. But Sixers, by the way, start training camp up today. And like I said yesterday, I got really big expectations for the Sixers this year. I actually think they're going to go to the finals. I think they I just have a gut feeling. Now, you know, Brooklyn worries me because they're a heck of a team. If those guys are healthy and have their heads, you know, at least enough aligned. There's some other good teams in these. But I'll tell you something that stood out to me, John, because yesterday I was on ESPN.com's NBA page. And talk about a league that has to get things back on track and start focusing. I don't mean to say focus on basketball and not focus on important issues that are unrelated to basketball, but they could use some headline improvements because they got to get back to people talking about the teams and the games, which are about to start. So here was yesterday ESPN.com. Now think about this, James. Think about these headlines and all the nonsense that they had to answer for yesterday because they had a lot of bad stuff happen this offseason. So the first headline was, and this is right down ESPN headline. First headline was Anthony Davis and Lakers set to play the role of underdogs. No problem with that. Lakers are looking to rebound. We'll see what they can do. Cool. Second headline, Suns in shock as Sarver saga hangs over team. Disaster. Phoenix has a horrible owner, so now all the Suns players have to answer to that. Third headline, Kyrie says he gave up $100 million to be unvaccinated. That's not fun. Fourth headline, Steph Curry. I called Silver in wake of the Sarver punishment. That's not fun. Now, credit Steph Curry for getting involved, but not fun. Isn't it not about basketball? Five, confused Celtics ready to move on with new head coach.
Yeah.
That's a scandal. Six, Timberwolves, Anthony Edwards, anti-gay comments, quote, immature. That's not fun. That's not basketball, right?
Yeah, man.
Seven, Zion Williamson says he's feeling great. Excitement through the roof. Well, it'll be great if he plays, but we're talking about a player essentially never plays. So that's, you know, I mean, it's good that he's progressing, but that's born out of a situation of a guy that never plays. Eight, Kawhi Leonard, ready to come back, says he's going to start the Clippers camp on time. Maybe, I mean, good, but he also misses huge chunks of time. I'm just saying, I just hope the NBA can have a better year with less bad headlines. And a better year with more good headlines. Because that was a lot of stuff they had to answer for yesterday. And
yeah.
It's a shame that some players are in that position. I mean, players have to answer about a coach's affair in Boston and owner's ridiculous conduct in Phoenix.
That's
not good. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to Inside the Game coming up shortly. I am very excited for the Sixers season. I know some people are lukewarm because we've been burned before, and I get it. We certainly have as Sixers fans, but I think they got a pretty damn good stretch up ahead here. All right, let's go to John in Medford right now. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show yesterday and a great show so far today.
Thanks, John.
Did you guys see the NFL power rankings that came out on NFL.com at 8:27 this morning? Eagles number one, baby!
Numero uno. road, John.
Number one, the sky's the limit here in Philadelphia with the Eagles right now. I mean, I look at this NFC, and a lot of these teams are very vulnerable. Tampa Bay, Green Bay, that game last night, that both those teams stink. Dallas, I couldn't see the Lamb dropping balls and then smiling about it. They stink.
Yeah, they're not very good.
Man, he really stuck that touchdown with the left hand, one hand.
Yeah, it was a pretty great catch.
Nice grab.
Pretty
good.
Yeah,
it was. Pretty
but
nice.
Anyway, I wanted to shift over to the Phillies a little bit.
Go for it.
You guys know that baseball is my first love. And I say the Phillies have six pitchers on the staff that I can trust.
You including the relievers?
Yes.
Okay.
Three starters are Nola, Weaver, Wheeler, and Ranger.
Sure.
In the bullpen, I have Eflin, Dominguez, and Alvarado. That David Robertson, he cannot get the job done.
I'm worried.
He those balls 15 feet in front of home plate and the runner scores. That's what's unacceptable.
Well, walking the leadoff batter, it feels like every time he's given the opportunity to close a game down, that has become a nightmare.
Oh, John, you know what? I think that in that game, I think he should have put Eflin in when he put Robertson in.
I love Eflin as a reliever.
So,
I have a lot of faith in him.
John,
in
I
role.
Also want to ask you, did you get your first W this week in fantasy?
Oh, of course not. No.
Oh, you got to work the wire.
I was
wire,
counting
dude.
On Sterling Shepard. I'm trying. I'm trying. Believe me.
But John, I got to tell you.
Last week I dropped Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Zay Jones turned around and had like 20 something points.
He had a huge game.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
but
Cole Beasley, who gave me four or whatever it was.
But, I John, I got to tell you, Richie went 3-0 in his NFL picks, man. So it's not all dire for
all
him.
Right, all right. All right.
Very nice of Joe to mention that.
Mm hmm.
Guy
my fantasy
after.
Team's terrible. Right?
Well, yeah, we
guy
all know that.
Go after a wide receiver, Romeo Dubs from Green Bay.
He's already picked up.
Oh,
I'm not going to tell you my waiver wire transactions this week, John. I'll tell you tomorrow after if to see if they go through. All right, who or what is underappreciated? What do you got?
Joe, since you're such a presidential guy, I'm going to go with James Madison.
James Madison, who I was just reading a book on last week.
That's a good answer.
Very ironic you say that. Madison is very, very underrated.
Very underrated.
Yeah, because of the Constitution.
And I mean, he should get talked about with Jefferson and Adams and all those guys.
Yeah, right? He always kind of gets – and him and Monroe just get lumped together. So I was reading a Madison book last week over the weekend. I stopped at page – I was so annoyed. I get to page like 175. I couldn't do it anymore. It just wasn't good enough. It's a bad job by the writer. Good, no, it was. It's good subject matter, but he just didn't bring it alive. And I'm like, all right, I'm not
bad
wasting my
job
time.
By the writer.
It was. It was a bad job by the writer.
I'm with you.
Right now, I just started last night Bud Selig's book, which so far has been not good. I thought it was going to be good. I'm like 80 pages into this one. I'm like, I want to get to him as the commissioner. And all he's talking about is when he's a kid in the Braves and the Brewers and Milwaukee. I don't care. Just tell me about when you're the commissioner. Get to the point. All right, let's do what we do right around this time every single Tuesday. We look back. John takes us inside the game, the X's and the O's.
Inside
in this case,
the
from the
game.
Eagles game on Sunday.
Inside the Game is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, and you need PDQ POS systems. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS, PDQPOS.com. Joe, short yardage, how big a problem is it? I do not think this is going to be an issue because we have the pieces to fix it. We've been worried about our second half scoring droughts.
Yep.
And part of that has been our inability to keep drives alive when we're faced with third and short. This is nitpicking because we're second in the league at converting third downs.
Okay.
You know, that's pretty nice. We're converting third down at 48.89% right now, and that is winning football. Only the Bills have been better than the Eagles in this department with a 60.98 conversion rate. Wow. That's astronomical.
Yeah, it is.
But against the Commies, we were only 5 of 15 on third down, 33%. And we all remember that fourth down attempt when we tried the fancy underneath sweep to Zach Pascal. Major failure because we tried to do the east-west thing. We're in a weird spot because on that play, the offensive line actually fired out and they won. They pushed the Commies D-line off the ball by 3 yards. And a sneak by Jalen Hurts would have easily done the trick. But I understand the mindset. You know, defenses, they're gapping it. They're lining up in every opening between our offensive linemen, and they try to fire out and penetrate to stop the run, stop the sneak. And I know the coaches want to protect Jalen Hurts' body. But sometimes you've just got to know you can line up, and the defense can know what you're doing, and you beat them anyway. I told you a lot of times in the past that the mindset of the good Raiders teams that I played on, we ran one goal line and short yardage play, 14 blast.
Wow.
One play, and we converted 99% of the time. I can remember the one time that we didn't convert.
Willie McGinnis?
The Tuck Rule game. It was Brian Cox.
Okay.
When you have one play and you know exactly what your assignment is, against every look possible, you know what to expect, and you rely on sheer physical dominance, our O-line gives us that. And Jalen Hurts gives us that. He squats a house, Jalen Hurts does. If you don't want to risk his health, which back can we have faith can bury himself in there for 2 yards consistently? I don't know that answer. This coaching staff tried short yardage with Kenny Gainwell on Sunday against the Commies, and he looked hesitant. We've seen Boston Scott get stuffed in that capacity, but I think he does a little bit better job than Kenny Gainwell does. Maybe it's time to try our new addition, Trey Sermon, in the goal line short yardage role. He runs angrily. I believe he gives us a good chance, but still, we've got Jalen Hurts out there. He's the answer. Our short yardage plan, it is a work in progress, in part because we had trouble moving the Commies off the line of scrimmage. They did a good job. But with an angry running back paired with a power-lifting quarterback who does make great decisions, it feels like we can just win by doing what we already do, QB sneak or the read option. It's really all we need behind this awesome offensive line. I just hope these coaches stop overthinking this. I believe they will. I believe this is not something we need to worry about.
And there it is, Inside the Game, as John does every Tuesday, a look back, every Friday, a look ahead. He'll give us a Friday Inside the Game looking ahead, coming up in a couple days to the Eagles and the Jags. 215-592-9494. Speaking of looking ahead, start at the 12 o'clock hour, Eagles starting safety Marcus Epps will be with us in studio and fielding phone calls from you from 12 to 12:45. So Marcus Epps coming up shortly, phone calls as well. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, let me tell you about one of my favorite places, Family and Company Jewelers. Trust me, they know, well, an awful lot about diamonds over there. They've been in the business for 85 years. Tons of institutional knowledge, experience, expertise, and great people. Angelo and the entire team, great people. They've got over 2,000 five-star Google reviews. I'm telling you, their showroom is something you got to see in person to believe. It is awesome. In Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, stop on by, tell them I sent you. They will take great care of you. If you're thinking about getting engaged, get her the right ring, a ring from Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
You make me feel like...
Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Marcus Epps joins us coming up in about 15 minutes in studio. Be with us for a couple segments. Ross Tucker later on in the show. 94 WIP. All right, let's rock a lot of calls here. Let's talk to, let's go to Ken in South Jersey. Hello, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Super.
So, what a lovely day, too. So, two things. Quick Phillies comment. I think the unacceptable word is too harsh. You know, you have to take the whole body of work into context, and the guy has been a gamer.
I agree with you.
Got here.
I totally agree.
You know, and to put it into context, he's batting 215 since he came back. Kyle Schwarber's a 215 hitter for the entire year, and nobody seems to be too bothered by the fact that he leaves guys on base all the time. So,
well, yeah, but Schwarber also has over 40 homers, and Harper's got three in what it basically amounts to a month. So there is a difference there.
Yeah, but I just think it's a little, you know, you got to give the guy, cut the guy a little bit.
I agree. Listen, I think Harper's trying his hardest. He suffered two real legitimate injuries, and I don't think the word unacceptable is acceptable to apply.
Agreed. main comment on the Eagles. I think they're a really good football team. As you guys know, I was skeptical about Jalen, mainly because my eyes had not seen what my eyes now see. And I am a big believer that you believe half of what you hear and all of what you see. And my eyes are now seeing it. And, John, you'll know from a coaching perspective that the old maxim is, if I see you do it, I know you can replicate it.
Right.
So I now know that he can do it. So,
yeah.
But I also think, and I'm really glad to hear myself say this, I really think they're a really well-coached football team. And that is got a lot to do with it. The play calling, the play design, the touchdown to Quez Watkins on Monday night 2 weeks ago was the exact same play that they ran in the first preseason game against the Jets in the one possession that Jalen played with the exact same route concept. Except that in that game it was A.J. Brown, not Quez Watkins. So the safety went with A.J. to the end zone, and that could be why the safety jumped Dallas Goedert on that play. But everything I'm seeing, it's just a different level of thought going into the play call.
I agree.
And it's been
been very impressive. All right, who or what's underappreciated, Ken? Give me a big answer.
You know, Larry Holmes was wedged between the end of Muhammad Ali and the beginning of Mike Tyson, and I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for just how great of a fighter he actually was.
It's a good answer. Larry Holmes is a really good answer. He was the heavyweight champ for a while, and he does not get much pub to this day. Let's go to Josh in Manayunk right now. Hi, Josh.
Boys.
Oh.
With regard.
Hey, buddy.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Go ahead, Josh.
Okay, I absolutely agree with you with regard to Nick Sirianni. I mean, he just looks like a clown. I saw the Mike Quick jersey. I was like, my God, this is like recess all over again. Act like you belong, you know? Excited that they're playing so well. John, I tribute the offensive line, you know, and Jalen Hurts. It's just, for all the questions we had, it's just been unbelievable to watch the first three games. It really has.
Yeah, I mean, they're really solid. I've got a lot of good players, and it's hard to – I mean, I do feel like we started this show trying to be a little bit nitpicky. We're trying to point out things that could go awry. You know, there is the possibility that this team is solid and so, you know, together that things don't go as awry as things normally go during the course of a season. We all know that injuries are going to happen, and that could throw things off to some degree, but – yeah, it all feels very solid right now.
It really does. I got to be honest with you. I would not overlook the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No, not at all. Although, they did lose to Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
The Jaguars lost to Carson Wentz. I can't imagine how that happens.
Yeah.
But the Jags, over the last 2 weeks, you know, blanking a Colts team that then turned around and beat Kansas City.
Incredible.
And destroying a Chargers team that I thought was really good, but they were very banged up. The Jags look like they are a real departure from the Jags that we've become accustomed to, which is just like a non-entity almost.
Josh, you were what? Underappreciated. Give me an answer.
Moms are underappreciated.
Moms. I don't know about that. They got their own day. 365 days in the year.
So the teachers.
Yeah. I mean, I think people appreciate moms. Who doesn't appreciate a mom?
A lot more moms out there than teachers, too, for what it's worth.
James, do you think moms are underappreciated?
No, I don't. I think moms are very well appreciated.
I think so, too.
Look, I'm sure there's always cases. I'm sure there are mothers who are underappreciated. But on the whole, I think they got their own day. Come on.
Exactly. Someone out there probably think we're a jerk.
I don't know. I think that's a pretty good answer.
I mean,
even though you appreciate your mom, you probably could appreciate her more. I know that's the case for me.
No.
I should appreciate my mom more.
Well, that's your fault.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, all right. Well, don't lump me in with you.
So you think you fully appreciate your mom adequately and constantly, consistently.
Listen,
give her the props she deserves.
Here's what I know.
Because I can't imagine what she's had to put up with.
Well, that's a whole nother
lifetime
matter. Yeah, you're right about that.
Tiny Joe.
Yesterday, I went and visited my mom. Today, I'm visiting my mom. I told my mom last week, I said, Mom, two straight days with you. I haven't seen you in a little bit. Monday, Tuesday, two straight days.
So you're trying to make up for taking her for granted.
Yeah, I said I had COVID, and then I was still coughing. I just wanted to stay away. That's a little different. 215-592-9494. And the moms, that's an interesting answer. I mostly say thumbs down. But, you know, if you don't appreciate them, that's on you.
Does she have a nickname for you? Does your mom call you anything other than Joe?
I mean, when I was a young guy.
Joey?
You know, Joey, yeah. Yeah.
She still call you Joey sometimes?
No.
Because I get Johnny sometimes.
All right, Johnny, I'm going to work on that.
Are
Johnny.
You... So
no,
still,
no.
She doesn't slip up?
No, it's pretty much just Joe. Yeah, pretty much just Joe. Joe to camera, John Ritchie.
Lady, man.
Johnny with Marcus Epps. He will be with us next in studio on 94 WIP.